2 Corinthians chapter 6 is a fascinating portion of Scripture. I'm going to read two verses to you, and then we'll spend some time talking about this. One main theme this morning that I guess I'm going to share. I like to tell my testimony. You know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a testimony. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I like to say, if it is so, then say so. Because, hey, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die on the cross for me. And so I don't want to be ashamed to be a Christian. And so I'll tell you a little bit about my testimony. But the Bible says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That's interesting. It's possible, if we're not careful, to have received the grace of God in vain. So that means that God, grace means unmerited favor. That's where somebody does something for you for no reason. We did not deserve it. He just did it out of love. And many of you understand that. There's sometimes you do something for somebody just from a heart of love. You have no expectation. They didn't expect it. It was just grace. But the Bible says here, if we're not careful, we could receive the grace of God in vain. What was the greatest moment, the greatest gift of grace that was ever given was when God gave Jesus Christ to this earth to come and die for the sins of all the world. Now, the Bible says, though, in some people's life, that could be in vain. In other words, that could be empty, meaningless. In other words, even though Jesus died for our sins and made a way for us to go to heaven, we either reject that or neglect that. And in a sense, we cause, at least in our lives, for him to have done that for nothing. And every man, every woman, I love this. God makes us with a free will. He didn't want to create a bunch of robots. He chose to love us. He chose to send Jesus to die for us. And then he leaves it up to each and every one of us whether or not we want to choose him. Hey, he chose you. Will you choose him? He chose to die for you. Will you choose to receive that gift of eternal life? And then the Bible says in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation. Very interesting phrase there. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the, here's the phrase again, two times in that verse, the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me as I preach these few minutes, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one, Lord, to be in tune with you and listening to you. Lord, thank you. We love you. We welcome you. We want you here. We need you right now. And so if you'll be active in each of our lives and hearts, Lord, thank you so much for that. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so for every person that's gotten saved, that they have received or have had this day of salvation. Now think about that, okay? If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can think back right now. You might not know the exact date. I don't remember. Nobody wrote down the exact date. But I can go to in my mind to a place and a time where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was my day of salvation. Think about that. Here's the question this morning. Do you have a day of salvation? What that means is from the day you're born to right now, if we just kind of took this moment right now and said, all right, we're going to stop everything. We're going to look backwards from the day we're born to where we are right now here sitting at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And that's called the timeline of our life. And I'm going to search up and down that timeline in my mind and my memory. And then I got to ask this question. Was there ever a day where I realized that I needed Jesus and I was willing to accept him as my personal Savior? Let me give you a little history of the place you're sitting in. My dad started this church in 1973 in a guy's living room down in Midland, Indiana. And so there was just a handful of Christians that wanted to start a church. One of the men said, you could meet in my house. Can you imagine have somebody opening your house up to a church every Sunday? And they set up a bunch of metal chairs, invited people. And that very first Sunday, they didn't know if anybody would show up. And 34 people showed up in this guy's living room. And that was the first service at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I was about fifth grade. So I was just a church brat, okay, running around, getting in trouble all the time, you know, thinking I was being a help when I was probably not most of the time. But I kind of grew up. Now, because my dad has pastored before he passed away, he pastored for 41 years, everybody thinks that I was born into a Christian family. But when I was born in 1961, my mom and dad didn't go to church, and they were unsaved and didn't know really anything about salvation. My dad got a job opportunity in Terre Haute, so he moved from Greencastle to Brazil, Indiana. And you know what? I don't think there's any accidents in our life, any coincidences in our life. I think that God allowed my dad to buy that little mini farm where it was, just north of Brazil, 24 acres, because right across the street there was a couple by the name of Jerry and Ruth Purcell, and they were Christians. And they looked across the street and they said, you know what, we're going to try to get this new family to go to church with us. Now, mom and dad wasn't interested in church, okay? I'm just being very honest with you. Matter of fact, when Jerry would come over about every other week and invite my dad to church, I'd always try to sneak up and listen, because my dad had the most amazing excuses for not coming to church. I thought maybe he had a book somewhere in the house where he just went back and, you know, the book of excuses not to go to church. He'd just pick a new one out. But finally, I guess he ran out of them, or he lost the book. I don't know. But somehow, one Sunday, they agreed to come. And we started going to church when I was 5 years old. Up to that point, I'd never walked in a church before. Everything was brand new to me. Of course, I was a little guy, and I had a limited amount of understanding. But I want to tell you this. I'm so thankful for people that can take the Bible and teach it to children, you know, because Mrs. Evans, Elmer Evans was the pastor, and Mrs. Evans, his wife, would herd all of us kids back for Sunday school, and she'd teach us the Bible. And, you know, even as a little child, I'm listening, and some of the other kids are, I mean, this is old stuff to them, and they know all the Bible stories, and I don't know anything. But I sit there and I listen. I was fascinated by it. And I'm always, to this day, just amazed at how tender God works in the life of children. And you know, I begin to pick this up, and then I'd pick another little piece up, and then I'd begin to learn this. I'd go into the big church. I'd listen to the pastor, and he'd preach on heaven, and sometimes I'd sit out there and think, wow, man, does a place like that exist? And wouldn't that be incredible if it did? And then sometimes, folks, I'll be honest with you, he's a guy that preached all the Bible. I'm not sure we have pastors that do that anymore, but this pastor does. But you know, if you're going to preach on heaven, you got to preach on hell too, because it's just as real as heaven. And man, I remember going home thinking to myself, good night. You know, what if I die and go there? And they begin to teach me about sin and that everybody has sinned. And they didn't have to work hard to convince me. I may have been little, but I was kind of a rascal. So, you know, they start talking about sin and the things that we do that's against the Lord. I begin to feel something in my heart. And this is something, folks, that I want to try to explain to you. And if you've ever had it happen, you'll know. And some of you may experience it this morning. But when a preacher's preaching, or my teacher was teaching, and they're teaching out of the Bible, you know what? God is very active in that. And I begin to feel what I figured out later on, once I knew more about the Bible, I begin to feel something called conviction. I just had this unrest. Sometimes I thought I was sick at my stomach, or I couldn't figure it out as a little boy. All I know is, man alive, if sin is as bad as they say it is, and by the way, the Bible says it's bad, and heaven's perfect place and God's a holy God, then how am I going to be able to go to that place? How do I miss the other place? And I'm so glad, because like I said, I'm getting little pieces, okay? And then one day, Mrs. Evans decided to come in and teach a story about Jesus Christ. Now, folks, this is where it really got good for me, okay? Because some days I'm literally laying in bed at night staring at the ceiling thinking, man, if I die, where am I going to go? And she taught a story, and she was real good with teaching children stories. So she'd come in with this little picture book, and that kept our attention, you know? And she'd start telling the story. And one day she told the story of two brothers that lived in China that were identical twins. Do we have any identical twins in here? Yeah, we do. I forgot about that. You know what I'm talking about. I remember when you two rode the bus, I couldn't tell one of you from the other either. So, you know, identical twins. And a missionary came to their little village in China and preached the gospel. And one of the boys accepted Jesus, started going to church, and began to live the Christian life. His other brother went one time and said, I'm not going back. I don't want that. And he went the exact opposite way, only really bad. He got into stealing. He got into drugs. He got into a gang. And he just kept getting deeper and deeper. Now they're in their teenage years, identical twins. You couldn't tell one from the other. And the Christian brother was always trying to get him to come to church. And she's telling this and flipping through the pages and telling this story, you know. And I'm sitting there, you know, as a little kid, just captivated, you know, about these two brothers. One of them's really going the wrong way. One of them loves Jesus and has gotten saved, is trying to be a good influence on his brother, you know, and get him into church. And anyway, this one brother that's going the wrong way, one day there was a crime committed and a murder happened and his brother killed another man. Now he's at home and he don't know this, but all of a sudden his brother comes running into the house and there's blood all over his shirt. And he said, what in the world happened? He can hear the sirens, the police coming. And she's telling this story. And again, I'm just kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? You know, he had this blood all over his shirt and he took it off and he threw it on the ground, grabbed a clean shirt, put it on and ran out the back door. Now, wait a minute. You know what? The younger brother realizes at this time what had happened, that his older brother had done something, obviously committed a crime. The police are coming. And by the way, folks, in China, you know what? We're not talking about the United States of America, due process, all this other stuff. They find out you're guilty there, that's it. I mean, they'll take you out and execute you the next day. And so he looked at that shirt with blood all over it and realized, if they catch my, look right up here, if they catch my brother, I know what's going to end up happening to him. And they'll take his life and he'll end up in hell. So that brother that was saved, think about this. He took off his white shirt that didn't have a mark on it, laid it off to the side, picked up the shirt with the blood on it, and put on his brother's shirt with the blood on it. And he walked out in the front yard and waited for the police. Now, this other brother that took off, he don't know this is happening. He walks out. Eyewitness says, that's the guy, because they're identical twins. They take him in jail. They have some witnesses come. That's the guy. Next day, they execute him. The other brother doesn't even know all this happened. Finally, word gets out to him. He's in hiding what his brother did. And he went right to the police station, brokenhearted. They killed my brother. They got the wrong guy. And he went to confess. And he went to turn himself in. And you know what they said? That case is closed. That crime's already been paid for. You need to go. And I'm sitting there as a little kid thinking to myself, how much love would a brother have for another brother to pick up that shirt with blood on it, put it on knowing that he was going to die, but at least he's saved. He knows where he's going. Loves his brother, wants to get him saved. That brother that actually committed the crime ended up going to the church where his brother had always been trying to get him to go. And he got saved. He got born again because of what his brother did. Now, I'm watching this story and I'm thinking about this. Remember, sin, I know a little bit about that. I'm feeling conviction. I know about a place called heaven and hell. I'm thinking to myself, God's a holy God. Heaven's a perfect place. How can a sinner go there? I'd just mess it up. And then she turned the page of the storybook, and on the last page there was a picture of Jesus dying on the cross like this. And all of a sudden it's like, are you listening to, it's like a light bulb came on. And I realized, wait a minute. What that brother did for his brother is exactly what Jesus Christ did for me. You know what? Jesus didn't have any sin. Jesus was holy. Jesus was sinless. He was the Son of God. And yet he was willing to die for something he didn't do. He died for my sins. And it was like, boom, my sin. What am I going to do about that? Because somebody's got to pay for it. By the way, somebody's going to pay for everybody's sin. Everybody in here, someone's going to pay for your sin. You're either going to choose to let Jesus do it or you're going to have to do it yourself. And I realized, you know what? I have this sin problem. I want to go to heaven, but what am I going to do about my sin? And then when she turned that page and Jesus is there, I thought to myself, he paid for my sin. And she began to tell me how Jesus would take his righteousness and give it to me and take my sinfulness and put it on himself. And by the way, the sins of the whole world was put on Jesus that day on Calvary's cross. You say, well, I wasn't even born yet. Well, he's the Son of God. He died for everybody that had ever lived, everybody that was living, everybody that would someday live. And he took all the sins of all mankind and put him on himself, and he died for our sins. You say, preacher, well, what do you got to do to get saved? Folks, you know, it's so simple. You know, for by grace are you saved. Remember I talked about grace, that unmerited favor? He didn't have to do that. He did it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Think about that. Well, so what do I got to do? I got to, by faith, decide to believe and receive what Jesus did for me. By faith, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I chose to believe that by faith. I chose to believe that he was sinless and he was the Son of God and that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, you know, Easter Sunday, rose again the third day. And that if I just simply called upon him and asked him, he would save me. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, listen to me. If a little five or six-year-old boy, I was right in there, right around that time in my life. If God can open my understanding where I have that moment and go, okay, now I get it. Then you know what? God can help you get there too. Nobody that is saved in this room was born saved. If you're saved, you go back to that. What did we talk about? The day of salvation. You go back and look at that. And all of us need to receive Christ. There's got to be that time in each and every one of our lives where we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, let's get back to this and I'll wrap it up. We're going to go back and look at something. Here's the day we were born and here's today. This is the timeline of our life. And by the way, this is between you and God, this part of it, okay? Because I can't get saved for you and you can't get saved for me. Everybody's got a free will. We all got to make our own decision. So I'm looking and remembering. I go back and say, yes. I can remember leaving that classroom, Mrs. Evans, the next few days from Wednesday to Sunday, knowing I needed to be saved. Sunday morning, going to church. They're singing an invitation song. I'm pulling on my dad's suit coat. Daddy, crying, I need to get saved. Went forward, preacher knelt down, opened the Bible, read John 3:16 to me, and explained salvation a little bit more. Man, I already understood it because I saw the picture of the man that picked up the bloody shirt, put it on for me. For me. Jesus did that for me. And he simply said, Jerry, do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Now think about these questions. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I do, sir. Do you believe he died for your sins? I do. Do you believe he rose 3 days later from the grave? I do. Do you believe if you would call upon him and ask him to save you, that he would? And I said, I believe he would. And you know what? He led me in a prayer, and it wasn't just the words, some memorized prayer. It was something that came from my heart. And I asked Jesus that day to be my personal Savior. Now, folks, I didn't even realize at that time everything that came with that. Oh, my goodness sakes. The best life you can live is the Christian life. All of a sudden, God is my Father. And you know what? Heaven's my home one of these days. And God's going to start building a mansion for me. And I can lay down, instead of not at night laying down, staring at the ceiling, wondering what's going to happen when I die, I can lay down and say, thank you for saving me. He may be one of his children, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I'm a child of God. I still got to go through difficult things, but I don't have to go through them alone. I mean, I got access to God through prayer. I got a Bible I can read that he opens up to me and helps me. I mean, the Christian life's the best thing. I didn't know all that. All I knew at that time was I'm lost. and I've got a sin problem, and Jesus can take care of it, and I put my faith and trust in him. Now, I want to ask you as you look, okay, we're done, but here it is. That's when you were born. That's today. Look up and down there. Preacher, I'm not finding my day of salvation. I love this verse we just read because it said this, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Preacher, what's the best day to get saved if you're not saved? Today. Today. I don't think the devil ever comes to anybody and tells them to never get saved. I think he always just tells them, put it off, put it off, put it off. Because if he can get you to put it off long enough, one of these days, listen, the devil, he's doomed. Read the book of Revelation. He's going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. He hates us. I mean, as much as God loves us, he hates us. And he'd like to deceive everybody so that when he goes to hell, he takes a bunch of people with him. Hey, don't let him do that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let me talk to you just for a second with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, preacher, while you were talking about that, I begin to feel what you kind of described when you were a child. I think God's working in my heart, and I really need to be saved. I feel like the Lord's saying to me, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day of salvation. And I'd like to just get this taken care of. You know, God is here. And God hears you and God loves you. How do you know he loves me? He proved it. He sent his son to die for all of us. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to lead you in a prayer very similar to what my preacher led me through. And it's not just a matter of repeating some kind of magic words, but it's a matter of praying this to God. And really meaning it with all your heart. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd really like to be. Well, let the Lord know that. Right now, just say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I do believe in you, Jesus, that you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again the third day. Please save me right now and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for making today the day of my salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, because we don't embarrass people here, and I never would. But I would like to know, I would like to rejoice with you. If you did that and you're not ashamed of it, preacher, I prayed that prayer in my heart to God and I meant it with all my heart. Would you raise your hand and just keep it up for just a second? Just keep it up for just a second. God sees that hand. God sees that act of faith. You can put it down. Heavenly Father, thank you that you still work in people's hearts. Way back 1966, a little burr-headed boy walked into a church, didn't know up from down. Thank you that there was a preacher that loved me. Thank you that his wife cared and taught us and loved us. Thank you that they showed us the love of God. And Lord, thank you for being patient with me as I learned as a boy and put the pieces together. And more than anything, thank you for the day of my salvation. Now, we have many folks that just raised their hand and received Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them as they begin to grow in the Lord and that you would, Lord, use them. Because, Lord, you have a plan for all of our lives. And, Lord, the people that just got saved, there's somebody that they could help find Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'd use and bless this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.